thanks for tuning in to another episode of the BAMF podcast. We're doing a million of them these days, apparently. I'm your host, Mike Lafferty, and we have a star-studded cast tonight. First off, the man whose fame is exploding all over the RPG sphere on the internet. I remember him back in the day. Dan Houser, how are you doing today?
Hey, doing good. Yeah, I'm exploding everywhere, and I put the stud in star-studded.
That's kind of hot. I like that. Let's talk later. After
also, drinking a lot of cold medicine today, so...
Me too.
Yep.
I'm rocking the NyQuil. And we have Mr. Walt Rebillard from Hazard Studios, pretty much a regular co-host now. How you doing, Walt?
Trying to stay out of trouble.
Try a little harder, sir. Appreciate you showing up tonight.
I appreciate the invite. Thank you.
And we have a recurring guest, Stacey Montgomery, a.k.a. Princess Stacey from RPG Net, our resident Cortex expert. How you doing, Stacey?
I'm doing well, and it's great to be here. I'd like to say this is my third time on your show, and it's the first time I've actually been allowed into the complex. It's really wonderful here. I don't know where everyone gets those cool jumpsuits, but I'm really enjoying myself.
Yeah, Wednesday is Lavender Day. It's a little festive in here.
I noticed.
Yep. Mine's a little itchy, as always.
I'm not wearing
one. With all the other rotating hosts, so.
You're not wearing a jumpsuit? Well, what is that you're wearing, then?
I'm just wearing a hat that says Marvel Comics on the front. That's about it.
We won't say where he's wearing the hat, ladies and gentlemen, but let's just say it's strategic. It's kind of like Red Hot Chili Peppers back in the day. Alright, well, hey, frivolity dispensed with. We're here tonight to talk about what everyone's talking about, the Marvel Heroic Role-Playing Game.
Woohoo!
And we got copies, bitches. And,
and bastards.
Yeah.
We're also not
gender specific. We're not gender specific.
Now, which one are we doing? Are we doing the one with the stones?
What?
Ouch.
Or, oh, the one with the cards. So we'll be reviewing the Saga Marvel game tonight.
No?
Why
are you gonna
Although that is my that was my favorite of all the most recent Marvel games. Saga was my favorite. Now
yeah,
I'm playing it, and
they
I'm
just can't
it.
Find the cards.
I was very fond of that.
I was thinking we'd review Marvel versus Capcom.
Oh. I'm down. Oh. Let me just fire up Xbox Live.
We could do Icons, which I think people have generally accepted up until this week, was the preeminent game for playing Marvel superhero adventures.
This is true.
I would also say that people have really likened Icons to Phase Rip in a positive light. So, yeah, that's kind of nice. But just looking over the book now, I'm seeing that they did a lot more with, like, Crunch than Icons does, which would fit my gaming group very well.
Yeah, it's a cool book. It's an amazing-looking book. And, well, hey, Stacey, since we're talking about opinions on Marvel, and you were brought on to review the most recently released Marvel.
Oh, the new one.
Yes.
Yes, I guess a few people have been talking about that. Well, I just want to say that I'm in no way qualified to give this review.
Oh,
that's
well,
important
so
thing
modest.
To put out. There's no reason... That we shouldn't be listening to anyone else's review, the other thing I think is important to say is that I'm not completely unbiased. I was a playtester on this game, and once when I was lost in the snow, Cam Banks gave me 25 cents to make a phone call, and saved my life. And no, that's not true. But I'm certainly not an unbiased opinion. So it should not be taken that way. So this will be commentary rather than news.
I don't think anyone turns into the BAMF podcast for objective journalism. So I think you're okay.
Oh, okay. Well, that's excellent. In that case, I will now give my review of the new Marvel Heroic role playing game by Margaret Weiss Productions. It's great.
Say it again, please.
It's great.
Could you expand?
A little bit, yeah. The new game from Margaret Weiss, produced by Cam Banks and a horde of mutants, is a pretty cool game. It's the latest iteration of the suddenly famous Cortex Plus rule system, which is similar to the old Cortex rule system, but different in ways that are too complicated to explain. The point of the Cortex Plus system, which has been used for games like Smallville and Leverage, is that it is the people at Margaret Weiss really focus it and adjust it to fit the needs of each property, which they somehow managed to get the legal rights to. And I don't know how they do it. I just want to say in a previous life, and it's not a story that's worth telling in any detail, but I did once go to the Marvel offices in Manhattan to try to get them to give up the rights to their stuff for a game. It was an incredible debacle. But let's just say that my friends and I, we may have gotten in the door, but we really had no business being there. And I'm incredibly impressed that somehow Cam and his people went through that same door and came out not just with the rights to a game, but to the whole shooting match, the whole gall darned Marvel Universe. And forgive me, we should have spoken. I don't know if I can say gall darned on your program.
We have an explicit thing. You can say pretty much anything.
Oh, excellent. I wouldn't go any further than gall darned, in all honesty. That's a little
being a princess and all.
Well, exactly. So this game is a Marvel Universe heroic role playing or Marvel heroic role playing essentially what we have here is two kinds of games jammed together with Magic Putty. This is a fairly light narrativist game. Of the kind where you roll dice and make up what happened, wedded through a magical process that has not yet been retro-engineered to a fairly sophisticated dice rolling and resource management game. And you put these two things together, and like chocolate and peanut butter, you have two things which no one likes, but which, when combined, some people like. I think I'm on safe grounds when I say that no one likes chocolate or peanut butter.
By themselves?
I love the mark.
What are you, Russian?
Yeah. Well, not. I thought we weren't going to talk about. Well, okay.
the green card still is a thing.
Yeah, it's not a. If we could just pretend I'm getting paid for this, by the way, it would go a long way to keeping me in the country. So that's.
wink, wink, nudge, nudge, say no more.
Exactly. So long as no one at immigration has actually seen Monty Python, and really, what are the odds of that? So the game. Let me start by saying what's wrong with the game. And I'm going to do that because I love this game. And we can save a lot of time. This game, first of all, it's based around a structure of events. And the events are based on the big crossover marketing events that drive the Marvel Universe. It's almost as if this game was somehow structured to help promote the Marvel Universe properties that the Marvel Corporation and whatever their parent company, Procter & Gamble or something like that.
Disney.
Oh, really?
Yep.
What
is it Disney? Did they buy them or something?
Yep.
If you guys didn't know this.
Well, are you, really?
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. They are owned by Disney.
I think it's Procter.
I'm not kidding. I knew that because of all the shrieking that happened when they bought them. I am well aware of who owns them, and it's good because they were able to pay Joss Whedon what he wanted to do the Avengers movie. Thumbs up, Disney, and thumbs up for letting him do what he wants. So,
I think it's great
yay.
That you can see Wolverine and Mickey Mouse frolicking together at Disney World. But,
if I want to.
I hope I die before I see that.
I'm the best there is at what I do. What I do is
frolic with little lights.
Sorry, Faithy, we're getting to...
Gosh, Wolverine, what are you doing? Sorry, I don't do voices.
What I do isn't pretty. It's wipe up vomit off the Space Mountain ride. Time's just tough for the Wolverine.
Wolverine's got to eat.
Yeah, they replaced those claws with squeegees so he could take care of that easier.
Shooting out orange powder like you had in high school.
Food comedy broke out today during the BAMF podcast, Vicious. Strident comedy.
Doesn't happen nearly often enough. Stacey, please continue.
Oh, the game. So the game is very simple. The game is structured around a series of events. So, for instance, Marvel Civil War, Annihilation Wave, Age of Apocalypse, Aunt May becomes Galactus's herald, whatever the...
Sense and Sensibility, yeah.
Exactly, whatever the event is, and then they'll put out another book filled with new characters and structures to play. Those books are pretty specific in rather like an old Dungeons & Dragons module. They lay out pretty much exactly what you want to do. I've already had several people ask me, isn't that kind of railroady? And the answer is no, it's well-structured. But if you're the sort of person who doesn't like a well-structured event, you're not going to like those things. It also uses, the Cortex Plus system. Some people never sort of warm to the Cortex Plus system. If you're one of those people, you don't even have to listen to the rest of this podcast. I think the final thing I'll say is the game does not come with an elaborately structured character generation system. It comes with a fairly loose character generation system, which consists of sitting down and thinking up a character you want to play and describing it and then writing it down on a piece of paper and then playing it and having a really good time.
As somebody who worked on Icons and loves playing Icons, that appeals to me.
Absolutely.
Also, if I'm hearing you correctly, it's going to be mainly like the big events. But will they be going back to retro events? Do you know?
Well, we don't know.
Like Secret Wars or anything like that.
Guess is that they're not going to. And I'm guessing entirely based on my incredible, insider perspective. I guess insiders usually is for people who go indoors more often. But nothing like that is scheduled for the first year. And my guess is that if the thing is a big success, then they will eventually turn everything into an event book. Oh. And if the thing is not a big success, then they'll just sort of trail off and sort of stop doing things and say, we bust, we were bored.
My understanding is we've got Secret War. I'm sorry, not Secret War. Civil War. Annihilation Wave and Secret Invasion so far.
Yeah, they
planned.
Yeah.
Cool. Those are all coming out. All three of those events are really cool.
Yeah. And
well, World War Hulk, that'd be also pretty great. But again, I'm talking just as a fanboy who knows nothing.
I think that's the sort of thing you should expect to see. It looks to me like the basic principle is if the graphic novel version collection is on your comic book store shelves prominently displayed, then that's the sort of property that Marvel would like to turn into an event for
Marvel
to role play.
Oh, man. So we could possibly have, an Executioner song or like Cave the New Mutants stuff, because
I think your speculation is even more valuable than mine.
One of the things that they said recently on one of the interviews they did with Cam Banks was that he stated that a big part of the decision and what they put out was due to the art. A lot of these things that are coming out this time, like Civil War and such like that, they're all produced digitally with new manners of art and new methods of producing art digitally. That art was all easy to translate and cut right into the books, whereas a lot of
things. So instead of photostatting it and all that.
Right.
Okay. That makes sense.
That makes very good sense.
Yep. So they did say that they were also going to be doing some older events, but all that is based on how they get the property translated over to digital, whether they have to scan it or do whatever they have to do. So,
sure. Okay.
Well, this is a good time then to say, since I've now listed everything that's wrong with this game, I'll start to say what's good about this game. There's several things that lead off the top, and one is just how gorgeous it is.
It is a gorgeous book.
Game is a gorgeous book, and I want to say I speak from the perspective of someone who really hates the modern look of a lot of RPGs that have that sort of overproduced, there has to be an obscuring everything. Every page has to look like parchment stained with real watermarks with pale text so that I cannot possibly read what it says. I hate that sort of thing, and I really thought when I first got a look at this, that this was going to fall into that category. There's a lot of art and color, and yet when you go through and you read it, it's not only gorgeous, but it is wonderfully laid out in exactly the way that so many role-playing games, no names please, that so many role-playing games are not well laid out. It's laid out logically and consistently. There's a lot of material and there's some complex rules, but the layout actually helps you to understand what's going on, as if someone was actually thinking about what they were doing when they put the thing together. I can be very, very critical to the point that no one I know will ask me to speak on the subject about the look of modern RPGs. I think this one is just gorgeous, and I hope the people that who worked on the layout and the production design on this book are listening to this broadcast now, because they deserve to be praised. And I would mention them by name, but like everyone else, I skipped over that page. And I have no idea who they are. But they're good.
They're good people.
They're good people. In the
well and just and deserve nothing but fruitful lives.
Cover and interior layout, Mr. Jeremy Keller. Graphic design concepts, John Harper.
Take a bow, Jeremy, John.
Actually, yeah, it's Jeremy and John. And Jeremy Keller was also the art director, so he probably sucked at all the art and et cetera.
Fantastic work. So other things that are great about this game, the writing is fantastic. I've been very critical, and I know Cam was unhappy with me, and I was barred from entering the Margaret Weiss Pavilion several times because I spoke sternly about the presentation of the rules in the Smallville book, which when I read it, I looked up and said, "What the hell just happened?" it took me many, many readings of the Smallville book to start to appreciate what they were doing. I think they had some trouble presenting the Cortex rules, and those problems are distantly behind us. This book is very easy to read and very easy to figure out. And again, a lot of work I think has gone into producing clarity. It's easy to write. It's very hard to write clearly. And I think Cam and his gang deserve a lot of credit there too. That brings us to the meat of the game, and the meat of the game is really cool. Imagine, if you will, a basic Marvel character like Captain America. Your character sheet, or they call it a data file, which is very clever of them, but it's a character sheet. Your character sheet has several categories of traits, things like distinctions, affiliations, powers, specialties. And essentially, for each of these things, in each of these categories, you might have a couple of different things. For instance, several different superpowers, or several different things that you're skilled in, something like that. Several different things that you go through these traits, and essentially for each one, pick, if possible, something that is applicable to your current situation. So if Captain America is going to get in a fight with a Nazi cab driver, say, he would go through his sheet and look for the appropriate dice, things that would apply to beating up a hardworking Nazi cab driver, and then he would roll those dice, which might be anywhere from two or three dice. He might put together five or six dice. He picks two of those dice out, any two he wants, and adds together the result, and that gives him his total result. And then which is compared to the dice the Nazi cab driver rolls, and then we can work out what happened. It's a wonderfully simple, basic conceit. And then on top of that is essentially layered rules about the trading of dice and the spending of plot points and things like that, which add an element of resource management. And I will say that while this works very well, we do get into a little bit some people, especially those of you who are older and perhaps slower, which I'm counting myself as a prime example, there's an awful lot of intricate little rules, and there are things to keep track of. But I think it's worth the effort. And that is the game. As many people have pointed out already, and I'd like to point, sort of join in, rather than saying something creative, or innovative, or even something of my own, this is not a superhero role-playing game. This is a superhero comic book role-playing game. And it does not attempt to do, as many popular games do, it does not attempt to simulate the real world where superheroes exist. Because there there is no such world. I hate to tell that to our listeners, and I don't want to make anyone sad or unhappy, but there is no such world. Instead, it attempts to simulate the world of the comics themselves. So this game it tries to capture the feel of Marvel Comics, I think, and does it, I think, very well. But let me give a very specific example that might tell you something of what I mean. And this is an example I was using the other day. Some of you may have seen it online. The idea, let's say you're, as a result of you, maybe you and the Avengers are fighting the ninth and final sleeper, and a little girl is trapped under a piece of wreckage. So the important question becomes: you want to save her, and because you're a superhero, let's try to be focused here. You're a superhero. So the question is raised, can you lift this piece of rubble? And the key here is, in many games, what we would do is we would look up your strength on a chart, and it would say, well, you're Spider-Man, so you can lift 5 tons or 8 tons or whatever it is Spider-Man is lifting these days. And then the GM would arbitrarily invent how heavy the piece of wreckage is. And then we would know whether you could lift it or not. We'd say, well, it's a 20-ton piece of wreckage, so you can't lift it. In this Marvel heroic role-playing game, you'd be rolling against something called the Doom Pool.
Sorry.
A bit of a callback to the Doom suite of cards in a previous Marvel game. The Doom Pool goes up as the situation grows more tense. So, for instance, your chance of rescuing that girl from under that piece of wreckage is actually going to vary with where you are in the pacing of the scene. So, for instance, if it's the beginning of the scene and not much has happened yet, it's actually going to be relatively easy, I think, to move that piece of stone. But if you're at the very end of the scene and the bomb is about to go off, well, anyone who's ever seen an action movie knows that just before the bomb goes off, everything gets really heavy. and that's just a that is just an in, or any episode of Buffy that you've ever seen. I mean, that is an essential rule of dramatic physics. Things get harder as we work our way towards the climax, and that's how things work in the Marvel heroic role playing game. And again, if you're the sort of person who dreams that somehow your role-playing game is going to be some kind of a weird physics engine that will successfully model the real world of superheroes, again, I think you're not going to love Marvel Heroic Roleplay. But if you're one of those people who enjoys Marvel comic books, we'll pause there for emphasis, enjoys Marvel comic books, I think you're going to love this game, because I think that's what the game really recreates.
But let's be serious here. I mean, this is the world of now we have an internet. So there's always that one guy who goes, but I can't make Superman in this game.
Sure you can. Superman is very easy to stat out in this game. In fact, the game comes, this game comes with a mini event, and the event is Breakout, which is the first story arc for the new Avengers comic from when Brian Bendis took over the Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
That story arc includes the character of Sentry, who's Marvel's slightly addled homage to Superman, and he's a more or less a playable character, although
isn't he psychotic?
Yeah, he's a Marvel character. He's got problems.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
But everybody in Marvel has problems. Sorry, Stacey.
It's actually very easy to model Superman. Superman has a handful of good powers, and the Marvel game, this new game, captures him very nicely. We could stat up Superman in 10 or 15 minutes. Probably 10.
No, but my point was more that people will try to find something that's not in the design to complain about. Like,
oh, sure.
Yeah, it doesn't feature Superman as a playable character in there because it's the Marvel role-playing game. And well, that's what they would complain about.
My complaint, this comes back to a problem I've always had, which is, I don't know if you've ever seen, in America, there's a popular game called football. It is never played on the ice, and you never get to wear skates or hit a puck.
You have hit the nail on the head.
And it just drives me crazy, because that's a real game. A real game is when you're skating on the ice and hitting a puck. And football fails at this at almost every, except for the two goals at the end, either end, which sort of tells you they wanted to do football, hockey. They just sort of missed the thing. And I think that's this
game. I know, that's sad. That is a sad state of affairs, but it is true. Very true of football. And this Marvel game, apparently.
Well, hey, speaking of games, do we want to try to do a quick demo session?
We should totally try.
Okay, Stacey, since you're the game master.
I was sort of looking, since there's certainly not time to get into a serious game, and of course I had no idea of what quality of gamers you were going to pull out. Now I'm a little... Now, I was assuming that you'd bring in a couple of homeless people from off the street. But
he did.
Instead, we have Dan Houser, who is like unto a god to me. And although I don't know, Walt Robillard, isn't Hazard? Don't you guys do like the 4C game system, four color game system?
Yeah, we've done 4C. We're currently working for Bash, and we've done some icons and vigilantes releases. So,
you did some like I think I know the ones you mean. Well, okay, so you are like a demigod to me.
I'll definitely take it.
And therefore, I'm now quite intimidated.
Don't be.
But I think what we should do is, since the point of the demo is not so much to have fun, but to trick our listeners into liking and then buying the game. Although why I'm doing that, I don't know. Since Cam doesn't pay me. I thought we'd pick something very discreet, a specific event. I was thinking the encounter with Count Nefaria at the beginning of the. Breakout event would be perfect, and there's do something a little bit sort of constrained and let people talk through what we're doing as we do it, so that the reader at home, the listener at home, can by voyeuristically appreciate the godlike qualities of Dan and Walt and the Marvel heroic role playing game.
Hit it.
All right, cool. Let's do it.
So,
it's funny, though, before we begin, I just want to say thank you for saying that I'm godlike, because I am kind of godlike in that I mostly ignore people until they anger me, and then I set them on fire. And if you're lucky, I set somebody over to tell you I'm going to do it first.
He's an Old Testament kind of guy.
Yep.
In some countries, that's called assault.
Just marvelous.
Not in Wisconsin. You live in Wisconsin.
We do terrible things to all kinds of people and animals up here.
Well, it gets cold. It's a long, cold, it's a long dark winter. What are you going to do?
And then they cover them in cheese.
Everything's better with cheese. Okay, enough side thoughts. Let's play the game.
Yeah, to help out, what I thought we'd do is that the four of us would play, and then someone else with two robot companions would sit in the front seat and kibitz. That would be... I think we'd just make things and then just talk over us. I think that'll add a lot to the thing. So in order to play this game, what we need is for – this is a role-playing game that is R-O-L-L, and it's called that because we roll dice while we're playing. It was invented by a bunch of cheesemakers, the concept way back in the 60s. So the essential principle here is each of you will have to pretend to be a Marvel character. in order to do that, you'll each have to pick a Marvel character.
Well, tell you what, Walt's been kind of quiet so far tonight, so let's give him first pick. Walt, who do you want to be?
Yeah, let's pick from the characters that are actually in the back of the book that you're looking at, because that'll make it a whole lot easier.
Stars and Stripes, A Man Out of Time, Man After My Own Heart. Captain America.
Steve
Captain
Rogers.
Oh, God, now you're telling my secret identity? This sucks.
Sorry, I'm a bad man. Dan, why don't you go second?
I'm going to be the guy who looks like he's a mysterious man of mystery, an unknown, a cipher, blank data file, detective.
What are we talking about?
The last guy in the list, blank data file. A detective.
No, pick another one. I'm a beginning.
Okay. I'm a wisecracker. I'll take Spider-Man.
Spider-Man, a popular character. I believe they're making a movie with him in it, which should be fun for all the kids.
Yeah, he fights a lion in the credits, I saw.
Really, a lion?
That's a TV show when I was a kid.
Yeah. Hey, I remember that show.
Yep.
That's the show.
A lion.
He swings from one building to another once. And
he swings from a very heavy-duty gauge rope and not very far overhead. And the thieves don't get caught so much as wrestled.
That's true.
But yes, I'll be the Amazing Spider-Man.
And who else?
Ben Grimm.
Ben Grimm.
Right.
You know, I wish we could have gotten that Brent is too damn high guy from the New York governor election. I wish we get him on to play Luke Cage. Sweet Christmas, the rent is too damn high.
You are going to hell for that.
Sorry. All right. So I'm Ben Grimm, Walt is Captain America, and Dan is Spider-Man.
Okay. What we're going to do is we'll kind of skip through some of the fluff here. The point is that this is Avengers number one, the breakout. So what's happened is it's a lovely night in Manhattan, and you know, kabam, kabow, there's a tremendous explosion and exciting electrical pyrotechnic Spielberg-y discharge from the harbor or the bay. I don't know what you have there in Manhattan. I'm not local myself. I guess it's the Atlantic, right?
It's a big water.
From the raft. Which is what they call Riker's Island in the Marvel Universe. You know what I mean. The special supervillain facility that's in the water. Obviously, someone had thought about putting it in Area 51 or something like that. But then they thought, let's just put it about half a mile offshore from Manhattan.
Because those darn liberals making us close Guantanamo and the Negative Zone.
Exactly, because what could go wrong with an idea like that? So
let's find the most populous city in the continent and put
them 40 feet from them through relatively calm waters above the sea level.
The first event for the Marvel Heroic Role Playing Game is Breakout, which essentially consists of our heroes beating up a lot of prisoners who are trying to escape from prison.
Now, this isn't like we're beating on Andy Dufresne. These are bad guys, right? So, like, I was wrongfully convicted and I'm escaping. Oh, no!
Yeah.
He crawls out of a sewer pipe and Storm zaps him with lightning.
Yeah, something like that. I mean,
get busy living or get busy frying.
Guy like Norman Osborn, Peter. You remember Norman Osborn, don't you?
Oh, don't.
Yeah. Most of the, as in our universe, most of the people are in prison are actually crazy industrialists.
If only. All right. So how about if me, Cap, and Spider-Man are having a superheroes night out and we're having a poker night?
We're just at Avengers Mansion, dude.
Exactly.
Avengers Mansion playing poker.
Because there is no Avengers Mansion at this this moment in Marvel history.
We're P.F. Chang's playing poker.
We're between Avengers at the moment, and I know that because I'm geeky enough that I get called on to appear on shows like this.
Well, let me ask you this. Is this when they were using Tony Stark's building, or did they disband? I haven't been in Marvel Comics in a while.
This was
actually before that. The old Avengers.
Okay.
the old Avengers have broken up, and but you have to have an Avengers comic because they have to maintain ownership of the property. So when the old Avengers break up, you have to reform the next month with a new Avengers number one. We have lawyers, people. We have mouths to feed. We've got to keep these things going.
Damn, if those British people are getting that license back.
Exactly.
Scarlet Witch went crazy. The mansion is deserted.
That I remember. And then that started House of M for a little while. And
Yeah. There's a lot going on. So.
Well, this is after that. So you guys are having your poker game, wherever it is you are.
P.F. Chang's.
You hear the news that there's a breakout at the Raft. And, of course, as superheroes, you'll want to rush there. This is where you say, we rush there.
What a revolt in development.
We've got to get there, and fast.
Kev, what do we do?
I think we should rent a limousine.
I weigh 500 pounds.
That's what you modern people do, right? We rent limousines for everything. I recently discovered this TV show called Jersey Shore. They rent limousines a lot. Let's do that.
I don't think Ben's been watching Jersey Shore, but if everyone turned orange, would you want to turn orange? Because they do that on the Jersey Shore, right?
I don't know if I can go that far.
All right.
This is why when my group plays, we don't allow any table talk. Everyone has to be serious at all times. Of course, they haven't wanted to play for years, but I maintain strict discipline.
All right. I'll tell you what, the Orange Rock Express is leaving right now. I want a piggyback ride. Cap, Pete?
I have a motorcycle, so let's do that.
I can get over there pretty quick. So we'll meet up over on...
at the docks.
44th and whatever, at the docks.
All right. Hands in the circle. Go, non-Avengers.
You're meeting at the docks. From the docks, you can see that there's all manner of post-explosion excitement happening in the middle of the harbor. Let's say we pick up the pace by allowing Cap to commandeer a police boat, and the three of you can head towards the Raft.
I commandeer a police boat.
Yeah. The viewers at home will appreciate if we skipped the next half hour of us amusingly working.
He probably asked for your autograph after you commandeered it from him.
I will sign his cheek and jump in the boat.
I also jump in the boat and it starts to sink, so I come alongside.
This is where I should point out to our listening audience that if you have really talented and amusing players like these, you really don't need to buy the Marvel Heroic World thing. You can just invite them over or call them up on Skype and say something to them like a card game, and they'll entertain you for a good half hour.
At least.
As long as you add in cough syrup and possibly alcohol. Anyway, so I'm swimming and you guys are boating over to the Raft.
Okay, so when you arrive at the Raft, you'll see emerging from the wreckage a man in a prison uniform, but he has the suave features of a supervillain. And and the pointed beard of a high-end supervillain. As you know, any tall man with a black pointed beard is a powerful supervillain. And I think this has been established.
Tony Stark's a supervillain?
Yep, it's true.
Improving. Well, sometimes, yes. But in this case, we're talking about Count Nefaria, sort of the evil Superman of the Marvel Universe. He's occasionally run the Mafia, which in the Marvel Universe is called the Magia, because apparently no one in the Mafia is smart enough to make the connection, so Stan felt safe if he called it the Magia. He wouldn't be in trouble. I don't know.
That's Stan Lee.
It seems like maybe Stan should have given that one a little bit more thought, but, you know, he's incredibly rich and I'm not, so I guess he knows what he's doing. Count Nefaria is emerging, and since it took us a good 20 minutes to get from the card game to the docks, I would think that we should have plenty of time to do a single encounter with Count Nefaria, who you all know as a guy who can fly and smash things and has all kinds of cool superpowers. And that is what we call our game. So here's a chance to bring up a rule point, which is good because we're here to discuss the rules. So our first rule point is who goes first. And in this case, since it's the beginning of a round, or the beginning of a scene, as it were, we actually go first based on the scene logic rather than any sort of complicated mechanism. And in fact, we could make it as easy as asking who would like to go first, which would be, one of you, hopefully.
Spider-Man is more of a reactive kind of hero in these kinds of situations, especially if somebody's a bruiser, so I'll be paying attention to my spider sense and waiting for a lead from Captain America.
And since Captain America has the lead by example distinction, I'm going to lead by example, presenting my... I don't give my action yet, I just say I'm going first?
Yes, since we've agreed that you're going first, you can now say what you would like to do. And since this is a Cortex Plus game, although, of course, we want to know what you're going to do, what's even more important to us is the result that you're hoping to get from the action. So this is not a good game for trying to play your strategy very close to the vest. For instance, if you're hoping to trick Count Nefaria, this would not be a good time to try to trick me, if you see what I mean. There are games where tricking the villain is the same as tricking the game master. But in this case, if you successfully tricked the game master, then she wouldn't know that you were trying to trick the villain, and it wouldn't work. So you want to be fairly blatant about the outcome that you're hoping to get.
All right. I'm going to step into some of the down spotlights, because there are probably down spotlights because of all the activity on the island, right?
There are certainly down spotlights.
Absolutely. Sure. But they're still operating, right?
Sure. Whatever you'd like.
I'm going to let those down spotlights glint off my shield, prominently displaying the star on my chest, and scream out, in the name of liberty and all that is holy, stop right there. And my intent is to get him to notice me and notice that, basically Captain America is on the scene. So he doesn't see either Ben or take notice of either Ben or Spider-Man on the boat, or Ben in the water, coming out of the water, hopefully going to do something nasty to him. So basically I'm making like a, I'm going to go into one of those game mechanics. I'm trying to add stress to him.
Perhaps
stress.
Is this emotional stress or mental stress?
This would be emotional stress that I'm trying to add so that he can be not as wary, he's not as wary as his surroundings. He's focused on me so that he's not aware of my teammates.
This is a great idea. So the first thing we want to do is look at your character sheet, data file.
Data file.
And if people are listening into the podcast at home, this would be the time to turn to page 60 of your breakout book, available online now in PDF form, and let's have a look at what traits you can use to assemble your dice pool.
I could probably go with my affiliations.
You always start with affiliations, and that's pretty much the thing you've always got to use in this game. You've always got to use your affiliations which are essentially, you have three affiliations, solo, buddy, and team, which tell us whether you're operating by yourself, whether you're operating with a buddy, or whether you're operating as part of a team. And different people have different ratings in these things depending on what they're good at. Some people are best, some heroes are best operating alone. Spider-Man, for instance, anyone who's ever had a comic which is about them teaming up with a different character every month is probably really good at buddy. And so on. So I would say in this case, since you're standing there as part of a team, you're going to roll a 10-sided die, since Captain America has a 10 in team.
Correct.
So
Now, so can I add other things to that, such as specialties?
Well, yeah, I think let's go in order for the people at home. So next you do a distinction. You've got three distinctions as Captain America: lead by example, man out of time, and sentinel of liberty.
Which I've used two of those. So I led by example by, you know, basically starting off the action and basically presenting myself forward as a law enforcement official.
Well, there are times when you might get to use two, but generally we only get to use one die from each trait. So let's take lead by example, and that's worth an eight-sided die to you.
Gotcha.
And then next is your power sets. Your first power set is Super Soldier Program.
I really don't know if that plays into...
It doesn't look
like... Oh, wait,
like,
no, limit. Limit. If I have a Patriot thing that it says if I can earn a plot point if I step up emotional stress inflicted by government forces or popular opinion.
You can, but that's a step up emotional, that's a stress inflicted by, inflicted on you. So I think we're going to skip over Super Soldier Program. You also have your special shield, which is your second power set, but I don't think that applies either. Now, I'll point out here that there are refs who would at this point let you roll the eight. You have an eight-sided die for your using your shield as a weapon. They would say, because you're standing there with the light glinting off your shield, we should totally count the shield. I'm not sure. So there's a certain freedom of interpretation there. I don't think I'm going to go for that, but it is a... if you were the kind of player who likes to argue every point, I think you could make a good case there. Cap Shield is well known, and it makes your standing there more impressive. But let's move on to specialties, where we see that you're a psych expert.
Excellent.
This gives you an eight-sided die in psych. So that would give you so you'd have a ten-sided die, an eight-sided die,
and a
ten-sided die. And if you wanted, of course, you could try to add more dice by, for instance, you could spend a plot point to create a stunt. A stunt, for instance, in this case, might have a name like Captain America's Reputation.
Right.
Which would add an eight-sided die to the thing, but would cost you your only plot point since you generally start off with one plot point.
Gotcha. All right, so right now, I'm sorry, I originally said two 10-sided dice. I think it's two 8-sided dice and then a 10-sided dice. Is that correct?
I would say it's two 8-sided die and a 10-sided die, yes.
Okay, so can I roll now?
Yes, you can just roll those dice.
So first 8-sided, I got a 6. Second 8-sided, I got a 2. And the 10-sided, I got a 7.
Now, what you do is you can take any two of those dice and add together their total, and that is your result. That is what will be compared to what Count Nefaria rolls. But then the other die the third die will be your effect. But in that case, and this is the tricky bit, and I said this game has occasional tricky bits, is we don't care what number the third die rolls. We only care the size of the die.
Okay, so I'll take the D8. I got a 2. So I'm going to put that aside for the effect, and so I'm going to take the 6 and the 7, the D10 and the first D8, and then that would give me my 13 with the 1 D8 off to the side.
And now I'm going to roll for Count Nefaria. Count Nefaria is going to roll his solo die. He's going to roll his mastermind die, which is his distinction, because he's too smart to be frightened so easily.
Like a boss.
But I'm not sure that anything else applies. So I'm going to go with that for the moment. Oh, well, no, wait. He's got to... because he is an expert at menace. And I think that applies seems to me that's defense as well as attack. Menace is just the skill of scaring people. So he's going to roll three eight-sided die.
He's wearing an orange and yellow cape. How scary could he be?
He's actually just wearing prison clothes, right?
Yes, at the moment he's actually wearing prison clothes. So he rolls a 3 and a 4 and a 5, not a fantastic roll. I'm going to put the 3 and the 4 together and have a 7. What did you roll?
13.
Oh, well, I can't touch that anyway. Okay, so, and what's your effect die?
That would be a D8.
Your effect die is a D8. Okay, well, you win this roll, and you inflict emotional stress on Count Nefaria. Now, let's see if I can get this right. So you, since your effect is a D8, I believe you actually just inflicted D8 of stress on Count Nefaria. And that's pretty good, because if you could get him to 12, he would be so scared that he would be unable to continue fighting you.
I guess we should point out there's two different stress tracks. There's physical, mental, and emotional.
There's physical, mental, and emotional, and what happens is these are rated in dice, just like your other traits. So, but the trick is that they are rolled against you. So the next time someone rolls, if, say, someone were to roll something that would make a emotional stress attack against Count Nefaria, they would actually roll, they would be able to add this 8-sided die to the roll.
Understood.
Which would be very helpful.
So in the hit points, you get a track of 4-sided, 6-sided, 8-sided, 10-sided, 12-sided for every stress track. So, not to belabor the point, because we're kind of on a tight time schedule. So,
well, exactly. And of course, I'm doing this very slowly, because I'm explaining everything out sort of tediously, whereas obviously if we were just playing, it would all happen in a sprightly fashion. But let's show, because I think this is a neat trick. You're now wondering who goes next. The fun thing is that that's up to Captain America. Kind of like a talking stick that you hand off from person to person, Captain America now decides who goes next.
I think because Ben Grimm swam up, he might have the element of surprise. And since Spider-Man is very in your face, so let's go Ben Grimm, because Spider-Man could be the next distraction if we needed one.
Okay, that works for me. Let's see, building my die pool, I got 8 for being on a team. I have 8 because I'm a monster.
Well, wait, tell me what you're doing.
I'm going to rise out of the water like a big, ugly fur something. And Captain America's already, you know, got the guy half, you know, half soiling himself. I figure I can probably get him the rest of the way.
Fair enough. So you're just trying to frighten him?
I'm trying to follow Cap's lead.
Fantastic.
If that doesn't work, I can always clobber next turn.
So go back and build this dice pool for me.
All right, I'm on a team, so I have 1 8-sided dice. I'm going to use my distinction of monster, because I am. That's my second 8-sided dice. Under Rocky Orange Hide, I got durability, stamina, godlike strength. I'm going to argue my strength is well known, and therefore I should add my D12 to die pool.
Nice.
I'm in the interest of time, I'm going to fold like a deck of cards.
Okay. And so that's 8, 8, and 12. Under specialties, I'm a psych expert, so that's another D8. So my total die pool is 3D8 and 1D12.
Cool.
And upon rolling them, on the D8, I got a 7, a 5, and a 3, and on the D12, I got a 7. I'm going to put the D12 aside for my effect die, and I'm going to take the 7 and the 5 as... what do we call that? My effort?
The one you set aside is your effort.
Okay, that's my effort. So my 7 and 5 are the effect.
Yeah, or I think I've reversed those names, but
all right, so the D12 is the effect, and the 7 and 5 are... We're somewhere on the vocabulary, aren't we?
Yeah, but that's okay.
Well, we know what it does.
But your total is 12, is what you're telling me.
See, that's correct.
So I'm making.
Don't I also get to add his die to me?
Oh yes, you add an 8-sided die to that roll.
I forgot about that. All right, so let me roll one more 1d8. So 7 and 5 was what we had, and we add another 1d8 for his stress cap inflicted, and that was a 7. So I'm going to use 7 and 7 for 14.
7714. In the interests of a quick demo, this will be fine. We've rolled a 7, a 2, and a 1 on my 3-8-sided die, so I'm going to put the 7 and the 2 as a 9, which is not sufficient to beat you. What was your effect?
12-sided die.
Is a 12-sided die. The 12-sided die, since it's higher than the 8, you simply put Nefaria to 12. Now, let me just glance at the rules. I believe it's stress 12. He is actually stressed out.
So how would you describe that?
Well, stress out means that you're essentially removed, unable to continue with the round. And it can vary in a lot of ways. In some cases, for instance, it can get a little complicated, but in this case, you guys had a very clear desire to frighten him. How would you guys feel if he was simply ran away?
I would probably, I don't know, what do you guys think?
Is that good enough, or...
I think corralling him back into the prison would be funny.
Back into the prison would be funny, and since you stressed him out at D12, I'm going to go for it. I say that he sees you guys standing there. He sees Cap with the light glinting on the shield. Suddenly, the thing, one of the strongest monsters in the world, bursts up out of the water, and he thinks, you know what? It was a nice, comfortable cell.
I'm like two life sentences away from getting out of here, and since I'm immortal, it's fine. I'm going back.
You know, I'll get out the next time a supervillain becomes president, and I'll get pardoned, which happens fair regularity in this kind of universe. I'm just gonna melt away, and so you.
Or one wants to stop me are the Power Pack and Speedball. Then I'll fight them.
And also, because we're out of time, I'm going to say that that's he retreats, and that's the end of the encounter. You have defeated Count Nefaria.
Spider-Man wakes up and says, "Huh, Count Nefaria. Looks like they've been breaking out a cell block B list over here."
Oh, we got about 20 minutes left, right, Walt? Are you there?
Walt has no more minutes left.
We may have lost Walt.
No, I'm here. What do you call it? Sorry about that. I have about 10-15 minutes left.
Do you want to do something else, or do you want to wrap it up here?
Up to you guys. I'm good.
I think we've demonstrated.
That was fun. I got to see exactly what I was hoping to see how things resolve themselves. That's awesome.
We've demonstrated. There are other things you could have done, for instance, to try to push it over the top. Ben Grimm could have spent spent his one PowerPoint to buy a stunt, which he could have named the stunt something like, "Everyone knows that Ben Grimm is the strongest monster in the world," and that for one round that would have given him an extra 8-sided die, which would have added
a possible. Hulk would have said, "No way."
Ah, but the Hulk isn't a Hulk. Hulk has not been included in this event, so you're safe.
But the Hulk is the strongest there is.
That's an open debate we have.
Yeah, I think that's
No, there's no debate. Hulk is the strongest.
Are you talking about the orange Hulk or the pink Hulk? I believe there are a number of Hulks by color now.
Robert Bruce Banner, the Hulk, the strongest is, because him and his dad had problems, so his anger runs real deep. And
you know,
that anger fuels his strength.
You'd do really well on the internet.
He does, in fact.
I'm just saying, come on. That's his shtick. Why take it away from him?
Dan, have you been reading Marvel Comics lately?
No.
Do you know that Bruce Banner is no longer the Hulk?
No, I didn't know that. That Bruce Banner, the Hulk, was the strongest there was.
Are we going to have to break the news that Richard Basehart wasn't the original Admiral Nelson? Because there are things I just can't stand to hear.
Well, yeah. If I tell you that, do you know who the Red Hulk is?
I don't know who it is. No, I just know that there is one.
Spoilers.
Anybody that want to know?
Spoilers. We can't do spoilers on the radio, can we?
If you don't want to know who the Red Hulk is, turn off your podcast now. One, two, three, four, five. It's General Ross.
That spoiled something, but not, like, the story. It kind of spoils about the universe, but not really the story.
Do you know who the female Red Hulk is?
Oh, this is the Debbie Ross?
Yes.
Of course.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, okay. I think if General Ross did, you'd go, yeah, and your girlfriend's also been eating the Hulk Wheaties. I'm like, here, I have noodles from the Hulk movie. You're in trouble now, Hulk. I quit being the Hulk, like, a month ago. Well, yeah. What? You mean I'm Red Hulk for no reason? I hate you even more, Hulk!
You'll have to check. The Hulk was kicking it with the mole people, and they tried to bring him back to rein in Bruce Banner, who was going all crazy Dr. Moreau.
I'm not sure that anything you do with the mole people can be described as kicking it.
Well, there was a campfire, and there was a...
Clearly you have 3D movies, you've seen Mole Man's glasses. Either that, or he's looking at eclipses, like, all day long.
There's a lot of eclipses at the center of the Earth.
No, those are the glasses you wear when you're hunting seals on the Arctic ice, and you don't want to be blinded by the glare, which I assume there's a lot of Arctic ice down in the underworld.
Hmm.
Or if you remember AARP,
indeed.
All right, Mole Man.
Yeah, like, well, if you're lining up for the 5 o'clock dinner special in Florida, you see a lot of glasses like that.
Hans Molman.
So to sum up, the Marvel Heroic Role-Playing Game is really a lot of fun, although it has some complicated rules that some people will have to read the book several times to pick them all up. Young people with active minds who drink a lot of caffeine will pick it up in one read. The rest of us may trail slightly. It's gorgeous. And another really important thing that we haven't mentioned that I'd like to say is that the basic book, the what they call the ops manual with the basic rules, is amazingly inexpensive. Although I don't actually remember what it goes for.
$12.
Isn't that incredible?
That's 232 pages of Marvel goodness for less than the price of a dinner for a family at Denny's.
And only that, the PDF set comes with a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah, it does.
It comes with, like, the Watcher sheet and a blank character sheet on one page, so you don't have to fold it all out. Pretty great.
Actually, I haven't seen that. What's on the Watcher sheet?
Stress tracks, tracking that stuff, Doompool tracker, advice. Basically, it's basically like a little two-page,
screen insert.
Yeah, exactly, like a DMG, like a DM screen.
I got to get my hands on that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
They also have all the data files separate, so that you can and they're on like black and white paper with one color image, so that you can just print them out.
Oh, that's very nice.
Okay.
That's very nice.
Well, it's a great product. It's cheap. You should buy it. Publishers take notes. PDFs don't have to cost $20. This is $12, and it's a Marvel role-playing game.
And if I could, please just give a shout out to Margaret Weiss Productions. Please make standees.
And by standees, you mean...
You don't have to make full-on hero clicks, but I love standees. It's not a Marvel game without little guys I can make out of paper.
You know, I was considering doing a product that a fainting goat. You know, just guys similar to Marvel, but not, you know, with the Venom was filed off.
Marvelous superheroes.
That's cheesy and unethical, isn't it? Okay.
It's only cheesy.
Small press RPGs. Unethical doesn't really apply here. Freelancers only occasionally paid.
So. We don't know the meaning of the word. Oh, seriously, we don't.
Most of us are high school dropouts. So. All right, well, hey, we're climbing up on the witching hour, so I want to thank everybody for their time. Dan, Stacy, Walt, thank you very much.
It was fantastic fun.
I had a lot of fun.
And is there anything else anyone wants to pimp or talk about before we call it a podcast?
Yes. Yes, Zenith Comics is coming out with a comic called Heroic. I'm doing the inking and coloring. Keep an eye out for that after the summer.
That's
also working on that, and the penciler we have is fantastic. Working with him has been a real pleasure. John Skoglund, right? That's how you pronounce it, Walt?
Yep, that's it.
John Skoglund, he's awesome. And keep an eye out at Zenith Comics on Facebook. to see some art as it gets finished. I'm throwing up some basic pictures up there, and as soon as I get pages done, that's when the art lockdown begins, and then you know, guys don't get to see any more previews. So the more requests that that Andrew gets for art, the faster it comes out, and you know, the more you'll get to see, because if you don't ask, I'm not showing.
Okay. I'm asking.
All right. Well, you'll get to see it anyway. You'll get to see it.
I know.
The comic as it's being done, but I'm talking for all the fans out there, if they want to see it, they just got to ask.
Yeah, aren't you a guest at some convention somewhere coming up soon?
Yeah. I'm guesting at JFAX, which is a Japanese Animation and Film Convention. That's going to be in Michigan at the Grand River College. So, yeah, if you're in that area and at the last weekend of June, I'll be there, kicking it real with the mall.
Wow. With the mall people, yep.
Damn, Dan, I remember back in the day, man. How'd you blow up so big?
I don't know.
Mostly
no exercise, I think, and lack of my Yankee presence for a while, and so I blew up.
You were like the Jay-Z of the small RPG
section. Let's not go.
And Gareth Stark is like Kanye, and you're the Jay-Z. And
he's more like Suge Knight, because I think he would hold people over a balcony if they tried to. And he's also tall, dude. He could get away with it. You wouldn't be able to stop him if he tried. He's like 6'12", which is 7 feet tall.
He's in the Imperial measuring system, I believe so.
Indeed.
Hey, well, we've deteriorated now, haven't we?
Yes, a little bit.
Yes. I just want to say hi to all my fans and that I will be at my usual spot at the corner of Fifth and Westland. Put a dollar in the hat, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Be nice.
Are you singing for your supper? What are you doing?
No, I'm just standing there.
Yeah, so come by. It's just conversation. You know what I'm saying?
put a dollar in the hat. I'll tell you about an exciting new game system.
Hey, Walt, do you guys have anything from Hazard Studios you want to talk about?
Yep, last two typecastings, the things we're doing for Bash, they're dropping within the next month. And the last thing I'd just like to talk about is Count Nefaria. You better stay in his goddamn cell.
He knows what's good.
Any very American of you, Count Nefaria. What last name is that? Is that Italian?
I think what we've learned is that he does know what's good for him.
Absolutely.
Yes, he does. You're probably right. It was Taco Tuesday anyway.
Or Man Love Thursday.
No, let's not talk about what happens in supervillain jail.
Taco Tuesday followed by Glee.
Oh, no.
That's the best mind's rat.
Law making his harmonizer.
Well, I can see the Banff podcast orchestra is warming up.
Now I want to see a Marvel Superheroes Glee mashup.
They're all my favorites. They have just the X-Men.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Okay, Walt's got to go to work, and we're about that time. Everybody, thank you very much.
Yep, stay safe out there, Walt.
Hey, thank you, guys.
Yep,
and, thank you. Thanks to everyone in the Banff podcast universe.
And to all our listeners, thanks for listening, and catch us next time on the Banff podcast.